You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This week's episode is part of a four-part series for our Mental Health Awareness Month taking place in February, which will provide information on the many ways horses can help us heal. In this week's episode, Touched by a Horse owner Melissa Pierce takes the reins to talk a little bit more about horses and their healing abilities. Melissa is a teacher, author, psychotherapist, and a pioneer in the field of human-horse healing. Over the last three decades, she has helped and coached others in her private psychotherapy practice and partnership with horses. This partnership with horses led her to create the Equine Gestalt Coaching Method. This week's episode is brought to you by Touched by a Horse. Melissa Pierce developed the Equine Gestalt so there are two Gestaltists present with the client, one human and one equine. Together, they provide a therapeutic approach to deep process emotional healing through the experiential nature of Gestalt work. Contrary to talk therapy, Gestalt work and its sister modality, equine facilitation, offer some of the most efficient needs of human growth and personal development. Touched by a Horse offers two comprehensive programs where you can start your career with horses in the exciting field of horse and human healing. Our Equine Facilitator program provides you with the skills to build a thriving business hosting group experiences with horses. Specializing in work with business, clubs, and families, the Equine Gestaltist program prepares you to open your own private Gestalt practice in partnership with horses for deep process and trauma recovery. All of the programs include the rich curriculum of both online and in-person classes, business growth training, and a supportive community of herd members to collaborate with and learn from. Visit touchedbyahorse.com to learn more about which program is right for you and your healing herd. Now please enjoy this four-part series on horses and mental health.
Hey, it's Melissa, and I'm so glad to be back with you today. I've really enjoyed sharing this series on mental health with Horse and Rider and all of the ride listeners. You know, as a psychotherapist and as an everyday practitioner and horseman, I will tell you there are some things that come up time and time again with clients that I think bear repeating for mental health processes. You know, one of those really is our language, how we speak and how we address situations with our horse and with others. And I'm going to say it can come down to something called I versus you. So it's taking responsibility for our own truth, for our own experience, for who we are, and for how we roll in the world. So let's say that you are sideways with your trainer. Let's just say that you have hit an impasse and you feel that you're not getting along and you're sideways with the person. Well, some people decide, I'll just fire that trainer and get another one. And that certainly can be effective, and sometimes both sides decide that that's right for them. However, most of the time, it comes from two things: a lack of clarity about what you want, and then secondly, a needed degree from something I call MSU. Everybody needs to graduate from MSU, which is making stuff up, is what that stands for. So we begin to think in ways, in our mental health, in ways that take a situation that could be easily resolved with a clear conversation and turn it into an opportunity for our imagination to say, well, I bet they think this, and I bet they're feeling this, and I bet they're planning that. You don't know. Until you have the open, authentic conversation, you do not know. And that's the truth of it. You don't know what the other person's thinking, what they're feeling. And if you catch yourself saying, oh yeah, I do, I know what they're thinking, I've seen them do it before, I know they said this or that, please know you're in a tailspin. You honestly don't know. So the I versus you difficult conversation can be, first, to find a place where you and that person, whether it's another boarder, it's a trainer, it's your spouse about not wanting to keep a horse, you find a time, what we think of as kind of a right moment, a moment when you're not overtired, they're not overtired, nobody is going to be entertained by the conversation, it's the two of you. and you make a clear request. Secondly, you think, what is your desired outcome of the conversation? Prior to asking for the connection and conversation, what do you want the outcome to be? Do you want to leave this trainer? Is that your desired outcome? Then probably less is more. Go ahead and cut the contract and go. Or do you want to find a better way for the two of you to work together, or a way that that trainer hears how you're feeling, what you're thinking in the mix when you're not feeling heard? So what is your desired outcome? That you can reach a better understanding together, that you can reach some sort of better understanding and clear communication, or that you is your desired outcome that they know just how mad you are, or they feel bad about themselves? Are you wanting them to feel bad about themselves? Where are you coming from? What's your target? Where are you coming from? Hopefully, once you go through that process, you can come to a healthier and better place, a place that says, my desired outcome is that we get along closer to how we got along in the beginning, that we clear the air, and we have a really positive relationship going forward. So if that's your desired outcome, you need to use language that matches that, right? Knowing that before you go in and before you request the conversation can really help. Secondly, if you use I language versus you language, you're going to get a lot further down the road. You might have to actually rehearse this a little bit in your car or in your bathroom or someplace where you can get some space. You might have to actually rehearse it and listen to yourself. Let's say in a fake scenario that the trainer said something that you felt was a put down. They said something kidding around, but you were hurt by it and you felt attacked. Okay. So you felt put down by them, and maybe even it was in front of people. So tough scenario. They kid around a lot. They don't always watch their P's and Q's when they're joking around. And so you see that as kind of how they move in the world, and you recognize when you think about it that for you, it doesn't fly. Now, if you say to that trainer, you attacked me, you put me down, you shamed me, inside them, they are going to defend themselves, and this conversation is going to go in the trash can. So if somebody says to us, you do this, you do that, you do this, you do that, it is very natural for the other person to feel attacked and want to defend themselves, and they will. They'll grind their point in tighter. They will anchor into their bad behavior more, right? You could start out in I language, which is, thank you for this time to talk. I feel sensitive and I feel hurt when anyone jokes around with me in a way that really I take personally. I grew up in a family where my parents were sarcastic and sometimes hurt me, and I recognize I have a sensitivity there, and I wanted to share that with you so you could be aware of it, that sometimes I don't go to a very good place when I'm teased. Okay, totally different. The trainer is going to respond, if they're a good human being, they're going to respond, I wasn't aware of that. I know I kid around too much sometimes. I apologize if I hurt you. They're going to have some sort of coming towards you comment. I hear you. Thank you for telling me. I'll ease up on that. Or, yeah, my spouse tells me that all the time. I need to, you know, shut my pie hole sometimes. I tease too hard. Whatever. It gives them a chance to share with you. You've shared your truth, and they have a chance to be a good human being back to you. The first scenario, you tease too hard, you have too big a mouth, you hurt me, they're going to defend, and it's going to be bad. So rehearse it a little bit and listen to what you're saying. Think through, how has this bothered me? And even, why does this bother me? Was I teased too hard as a kid? Why do I have a sensitivity around this? I can say the trainer's a jerk, or I can look at my own way of being in this, and is this not a good fit for me? So I think you're gaining clarity, which is part of mental health, right? Gaining awareness of yourself, what you do and don't like, what you can and can't tolerate, where you go with things like that. And if you have your own stuff around your own confidence being shook, you have a perfect right to share that using I language rather than you language. Now, the other part that I'm very aware of is I will see people in my office that I need to mediate. And oftentimes the mediation is required because one or the other party says, well, I had a right to speak my truth. I was just telling you my truth. Truth, truth, truth. Well, I'm all over truth. I like truth a lot. I think there's no such thing as the truth. There's my truth and there's your truth. It's a perspective thing. And I like when people speak their truth. However, a person speaking their truth to another does not give them the right to attack the other person in the terms of truth. You can't say, well, I'm just telling you my truth. I think you're a terrible person. You know, that does not fly. That is not okay. That it truth cannot be used as permission to say crappy things to another person, okay? So when you want to stand in your truth, and you feel it's important to stand in your truth, be clear what your truth is. So, for instance, there is a way. Again, I had large boarding facilities, so I probably saw some of the good, bad, and ugly of the horse community, right? So there is a way if you see somebody handling their horse in what for you is an abusive manner, for what most people might see as an abusive manner, displacing their anger that they have about their business not doing well, punishing their horse, getting after their horse too heavily. And you want to say, well, this is my truth. You're abusive to your horse. You want to attack. You could take a couple deep breaths, sleep on it for a night, and practice what you want to say. And then come from I statements and be able to say, I get uncomfortable when I'm in the presence of any of us being harsher on our animals than perhaps we should be. And I am not telling you how you should be with your horse. My own personal truth is I can't be around that. And so for me, I got to remove myself from the situation anytime you come out. And that's why when you come out to ride, I often leave. Again, you're using I language, you're expressing your truth, but you're not doing it in a way that attacks that person. The other part of that oftentimes is that we have something called social proof at boarding facilities and at large training facilities. Social proof is person A treats their horse in a specific manner, or maybe I should say corrects their horse for a behavior, or gets after a horse, or trains a horse in a specific way. And if others in the barn see it, and they agree with it, and they go along with it because the outcome is they're getting the outcome that they want from the horse, pretty soon everybody's doing that. If it does not fly for you personally, trust yourself. Don't fall into social proof. Find another place for you and your horse to be where the people are more like-minded with you. I've had horses all my life. My horses, my personal horses, are hugely respectful of people. They are responsive. They are kind. They are well-mannered. They do not give my farrier a hard time or my veterinarian a hard time. They're careful around small children. They're sensitive to how people are making it in the world. They're very, very, very well-mannered as I say this because I don't want people to misunderstand that I'm saying, oh, horses shouldn't be disciplined. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are ways to hold mutual respect with an animal and to be able to have them understand what is okay and what isn't okay and to find the boundary that is there in a way that doesn't harm the horse and in a way that is copacetic for me. So we each have to find our pathway in that, right? And if you're at a barn and you're new to horses and you're seeing things that upset your own personal ethics or your own personal heart, ask questions, because they, most people are okay if you're asking questions truly openly, not in criticism, where you say, I notice you do this to your horse when he does that, and I'm fairly new to horses, so walk me through your thinking on how that's okay. Like, for instance, the trainer maybe takes the horse and backs them up rapidly when the horse starts to pull or starts to act up. They turn toward the horse and they back them up really quickly. So the trainer might say, well, here's why. It takes a lot more muscles, a lot more effort, a lot more coordination and strength of the horse for the horse to move backwards than it does forwards. So it is a correction. The horse would rather move forwards than backwards. So my way of telling him, you stepped over my boundary, is I turn toward him, not in anger, but in absolute request, back up. And that's my reprimand for the horse that feels fair to me. So now you learned something, and now you got something, and you go, oh, I get that. I get that. The key, not in anger, but in calmness, making them do that. That's something that a novice can learn that can be very valuable. If you see another person taking a whip to a horse and backing them up because they're hitting them across the chest, some trainers could defend that to you. If that goes across your sacred boundaries, it may not be the environment for you. So I'm suggesting, rather than letting your mental health go down the drain, to figure out where's your personal line, where's your personal markers, and then know those are your boundaries. And remember to ask questions, because you know your desired outcome is to feel safe around your equine partner, to be understood by your equine partner, to have mutual respect with your equine partner, etc. And all of that comes from us really paying attention and learning in the highest and best way. There are as many training methods out there as there are religions, and just as much contention around them as differences in religion. So find what fits for you, and find an environment and a place that isn't built on social proof. It isn't built on one for all and all for one. It's built because you can look at it and say, I see how that works with a horse, and I'm okay with this or that, where my boundaries are. Boundaries with a horse are one thing, so we talk about that, and the ride has a lot of great trainers. Keep listening to the Horse and Rider podcast. You'll learn a lot, and a lot of them are methodology of training. My mental health stuff is about boundaries, which often also interact person to person, setting a boundary with another person. There are people who are not very comfortable setting a boundary with another person. That sounds as if you're going to get sideways with them. It sounds as if you need to find your backbone. It sounds as if you need to get into a not comfortable conversation. And there are people who will avoid those at all costs. I think it's much better to take this I versus you language combined with your truth, combined with the highest parts of you, the best parts of you, to someone to set a boundary rather than harboring discontent. When we harbor discontent with another person, without us realizing it, our face shows it, our body energy shows it, our comments show it, our energy field screams it. You're not hiding from anybody. They know, oh, you don't like me, is where that goes. And it may be something as simple as they've crossed your boundary, but they didn't even know you had that boundary. So we have, at my Arizona ranch, we have combined tack rooms. So there are 75 horses on the place with borders. It's a lot. And there's one tack room for each about 7 to 8 people, depending on the size of the tack room. So they have that shed is for this stall to that stall, that shed's for this stall to that stall. So you are sharing space. You have place for your saddle and your bridle and your grooming tools and your blanket hang up and whatever you need. And that's your space. Well, Some of us are highly organized individuals, right? We always hang everything upright. We put everything away where it should be. And we take our fair share of the tack room. And others of us still think our mom's cleaning up after us and leave stuff everywhere. And people are tripping over your stuff. And maybe you leave your bridle one time on your horn and another time on here. And it makes it tough for them to get their saddle out, on and on and on. Rather than getting irritated with somebody in the tack room, it's much better to come at it with eye language, right? With clarity, with what is your desired outcome. Think of that ahead of time. With your confidence in tact, because you're not going to attack the person, and set your boundary where you say, hey, can I speak to you about something? Yes, you can. I'm glad we all share tack rooms together. And for me, I work hard to make sure I'm a good tenant in the tack room, putting my stuff away where nobody's tripping over my grooming box or trying to fight their saddle past my bridle hanging on the horn, et cetera, et cetera. And I want to make this request that you're perhaps increasing your mindfulness around where you keep things. I can't be tripping over your stuff as I'm coming in. And you see where they go. If they tell you to pound sand and they get angry, then they get angry. That's their stuff. If you said it without attacking them, you simply state in your boundary, there's seven of us in here sharing this space. This is my space. That's your space. Please keep your stuff in your space. Then you have to know that they're going to have their own human reaction to that. And there's lots of ways in which we can share our truth without making the other person wrong or bad or anything else. It's raising their awareness to something that bothers you. So raising their awareness to something that bothers you and listen, right? So after you say it, if the person says, yeah, my wife tells me the same stuff at home, I do need to be more mindful of that. I apologize. I'm going to work on it. Then you say, thank you so much for listening and hearing me. And yeah, it's great. And thank you. So that can be good. If they tell you to pound sand, then you can simply say, if your stuff, next time your stuff's in the way, can I have your permission to move it, you know, and probably move it outside the tack room, just so you know that's my boundary. So you've got different ways to handle it. Obviously, barn owners get a lot of this, and they get a lot of practice at mediating for people and moving people around and doing all of that. Sometimes as an owner of a barn, I had to find my boundary. If I had one boarder who was causing a lot of problems with the other boarders and was all the complaints seemed to center on that one person, then sometimes I did have to say, your boarding your horse here is not working for me any longer, and our contract works both directions. I'm giving you your 2 weeks notice to move your horse. Done deal. You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to give them reasons. You don't have to enter the fray or enter the conversation. You simply have to say that I'm exercising my right on our boarding contract. This isn't working for me. And it's done and it's over. All right. Well, listen, mental health has to do with attitude, has to do with awareness, has to do with how we speak to ourselves and all the things we've talked about in these four podcasts. We have several articles out right now that may help you on other topics with horses as well. I thank you so much for listening. I always live by the law of value, and I think our true worth is determined by how much more we give in value rather than we take in payment. And so I wish you all a very blessed time with these incredible equine partners in our lives. Walk in respect of them and others around them, and I wish you the very best. Thank you.
Visit touchedbyahorse.com to learn more about which program is right for you and your healing herd.
Thank you for tuning in to the Rides Winning Insights Minisode podcast. We hope you enjoyed this minisode. Please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and follow Horse and Rider on social media and at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. If you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We love to hear from you guys. And if you love what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.